recap, and we're going to get into part two. Talked about there were two places in the King James Version where the word swarm is used. It's in Exodus 8:24 and Judges 14:8. In Exodus 8:24, it talked about, and the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies. And this is one of the plagues that came to Egypt. And you see the word swarm there. In Judges 14:8, I love this story here, but it's when Samson came back through a road there where he had killed a lion, and he saw the carcass of the lion, and there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And you know the story, he took the honey out and ate of it, and then he took it back to his mother and father, but they didn't know where the honey came from. And man, there's a lot of truth in that. How many know that truth is always going to flow from the carcass of a slain lion, the honey. Honey in the Bible represents truth. So the truth of God's word is always going to be flowing from the carcass of a slain lion, and we know who the slain lion was. It was Jesus for us, that we take and give it to other people. They might not know where it came from. How many know truth will make us free? So I love that. I love that. And but in Exodus, that word swarm, it means, hear this, a mixture, an incessant or involved motion. I love that. It comes from a root word that means to pledge, exchange, engage, occupy. How many know occupy is a military term? You know, Jesus told us to, he told the disciples, occupy till I come. And what that word means, it means take over. Amen. It's a military term. When the president sent the troops over into Afghanistan and over, you know, in the Middle East and everything, when all that, the Twin Towers took place and everything, he told them go over there and occupy that city. And that didn't mean they sit over and wait till I come, you know, and just do nothing. But they went over there, and I mean, oh, some battles broke out and some things, they wouldn't took over the place. And God's called us to do the same thing. So when we begin to swarm, if we're swarming, we're occupying, we're taking over. It's a military term. We're engaging in something. We're undertaking for something. The word incessant means this. It means continuing without interruption. Ceaseless, unending, perpetual, everlasting, to swarm, amen, means to continue without interruption. Ceaseless, it means don't stop, amen, don't quit. Motion, the word motion, it's the action or process of moving or changing place or position. Movement in music, Emily, it means a melodic progression as a change of voice part from one pitch to another, or a sound or a voice changing pitches. And how many know God, in this time that we're in right now as a young church and as a people of God, that He's causing our sound and our voice to be heard, and He's causing us to come up to another level, amen, in Him, and change the pitch and the sound to where people in this area have never heard it like that before. Kind of like Jesus when He preached. Sister Robin, remember when Jesus would preach and He'd say some things and people would make a statement like, we have never heard it on this wise before. Who is this man? You know, I ain't never heard nobody talk like him before. And that's what happens when we become a swarm of people. We come that's the power of the swarm, rather. In Judges, the word swarm means, and this is Judges where Samson took the honey out. That word swarm, it means a congregation. I love that. Or gathering. It comes from a word that means witness, testimony. Anybody a witness for him in here? Anybody got a testimony? It means evidence. It means to surround, to restore, or to relieve. How many know God's called us to bring some restoration to this place and to bring some relief to this place that He's put us in? That's the purpose of why we exist as men and women of God. You know, it ain't just so we can go be with Jesus one day in the sweet by and by. If that was the case, how many know we would have died at the altar when we bowed our knee and gave our heart to Jesus? That was all it was about. But it's not all about that. It's about relieving people and bringing people into the kingdom and establishing them into a place, amen, that God has already prepared for them to walk in. They just don't know what they need to walk in. So we give them evidence that we begin to swarm around them. And our scripture reference from this, and you guys have heard me say this a lot, but I can't help but say it again. I'm going to go to the Amplified Bible, Emily. Micah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. Amen. I will surely collect the remnant of Israel. I will bring them, Israel, together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They, the fold and the pasture, shall swarm with men and hum with much noise, because the breaker, the Messiah, will go up before them. They will break through, pass in through the gate, and go out through it, and their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. So there's a gathered remnant. There's a mixture of gathered spices or anointings that the breaker is congregating together as a witness to his greatness, a testimony that will restore and relieve those that are weary and heavy laden. Look at your neighbor and say, a swarm. A swarm. It's a gathered remnant that the Lord is putting together. It's like a flock in the midst of their pasture. And I told you that word pasture there, it means sheepfold. It comes from a word that means to speak or declare, to converse, to lead away, to put to flight, to command. God is calling us to declare some things in this place. God's strategy is for us, for him to put a people in the midst of their place of utterance, the place where we can begin to articulate words and speak what he's called us to speak to. This remnant people are the ones that we are the defenders of the atmosphere. And y'all have heard me say this time and time again. So the breaker is going before us. He's causing us to swarm with men and hum with a great noise. This word swarm in the regular dictionary, it's a large moving group. It means to move forward, exist in abundance, to be alive with, to be all over the place, to proliferate.
I like that word.
To proliferate means to increase quickly, to expand and multiply, to reproduce. How many know we're supposed to reproduce Christ in the earth? You know, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're called to do, is to reproduce Christ in the earth. You know, Jacob, when he was trying to get Rachel, and he was working for Laban and everything, and, you know, Laban tricked him. You know, how many know there's always going to be Labans in our life, you know, that we deal with individually. You know, Jacob had to deal with his Laban, you know, that trickster spirit that was in him till he met with God one day and had a dream of the Lord, and he changed his name. But he told Laban, listen, I've worked for you. You tricked me into marrying Leah. You know, she was tender-eyed, is what the Bible says. In other words, she was cross-eyed. This is my opinion, you know. I'm beginning to think that maybe Leah and Rachel were twins. Amen? Because how in the world are you going to marry some woman and not know who it is? And I know you can go into all the customs and everything. She had a veil over her face and all this sort of thing. But I got to thinking about that. Man, how in the world are you going to know that's not the woman that you're going to marry? You know? Lady J, how in the world would I not know it was you that I married him when I woke up the next morning? Like, who is this? But anyway, he said, let me go. I've worked. You married me to Leah, and now I've got Rachel. And I want to go, take my stuff and go. And he told him, you know, just let me have all the ring-streaked and speckled sheep and goats from the herd, and that'll be my portion, and you keep the rest. And Laban, being the trickster he was, he went and separated all those speckled sheep and ring-streaked sheep and everything, got them out of the fold so it wouldn't be, so Jacob wouldn't get a lot, basically, because, I mean, no cattle meant money, you know, back in those days. And he separated it. And you know the story that Jacob took some chestnut rods, some limbs, some chestnuts, some almond rods, and he peeled the bark so the white, and he made them ring-streaked and speckled and stuck them in the watering troughs. So when those sheep came and looked at them, they conceived, and they brought forth what they looked at. There's a principle in that. You'll reproduce what you look at. Amen? What's before you all the time, that's what you'll reproduce. But this is the thing I want you to hear, okay? In their genes and in their DNA of those sheep, those speckled and ring-streaked sheep were already there. But there had to be some kind of form of, this is a word that I got from Apostle Muhammad, technology used to cause them to bring that thing out, and it was what they looked at. And how many know the rod represents Christ? It's the peeling, you know, of his flesh that makes us whole. Amen? And we begin to look at him and look at his life, and that's what we're supposed to reproduce. Why? Because we're looking at him. Amen. And if we're going to swarm with men and hum with great noise, guess what? They're going to have to see a people that's reproducing Christ in the earth. Amen? Amen? To proliferate, to increase quickly, to expand, to multiply, to reproduce. So we got to proliferate Christ. So the breaker, he's propelling us forward in a sphere of in our sphere of influence to bring an existence of abundant life that's going to quickly reproduce the kingdom through expansion and multiplication. Amen? Let me skip down to this point here. God desires to raise up a people who are willing to make noise continually that will create a climate for growth. And I'm not just talking about growth numerically, but I'm talking about growth spiritually, physically. Amen? The whole man bringing growth to us, bringing growth to this region. God has called us to do that. It's a revolutionary movement. Hear this point right here. I want you to hear this if you don't get nothing else tonight. We are called to swarm with men. But before we can swarm with men, we must learn to swarm with each other. Say it again. If we're called to swarm with men and hum with great noise, before we'll ever swarm with men outside these doors, we've got to learn how to swarm with one another. Amen? And be in covenant with one another. Luke 12:49. Jesus said this. He said, I'm come to send a fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straight until it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. The Message Bible says, I've come to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. So the world that God is bringing, Christ is already reigning from there. Amen? I'm looking for a scripture here. Here it is. I thought I got behind myself here. Listen to this. If Jesus has come to start a fire on this earth, and he's come to change everything and turn everything right side up, that's key right there, okay? I don't believe he was talking about, you know, for us to come into this town here and start some kind of controversy. You know what I'm saying? Stir up some trouble in the name of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people do stuff like that. You know, what do you mean? Well, you know, you got some people, and I am not for abortion, but you know, not too long ago, you had people, Christian people, they were blowing up abortion clinics in the name of God. How many know that's stirring up controversy, and that ain't helping nobody? Amen? So that's not what Jesus was talking about when he was saying this. I believe what he was talking about was this. We got to disassociate ourselves from the demonic strongholds that are resistant to authority and to change. The spirit behind it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Amen? But we wrestle against principalities, rulers of darkness in high places. Amen? It ain't that person, Sister Robbie, that I'm dealing with, but it's the spirit that's driving that person that I'm dealing with. Amen? So that's the thing that we got to understand, that we've got to learn how to resist. And it'll come in all kind of form, manners, shape. The spirit of rebellion is as a spirit of witchcraft, what the Bible says. And I used to do a little exercise with our youth when I would talk about rebellion. And they'd all be in there all slinked over, you know, sitting down, leaning up against the wall or whatever, chairs leaning back. And I'd get talking about how the spirit of rebellion was as a spirit of witchcraft, you know, in other words, totally opposite of God. And I would say this. I said, all right, everybody sit up straight right now. Everybody sit up straight. And you'd see everybody kind of like, I don't want to sit up straight. And some of them would kind of just creep on. I'm like, come on right now, sit up straight, you know. And I used to tell them, I said, now that right there, what you were feeling, that's that spirit of rebellion. You know, all I asked was just sit up straight, but they didn't want to do it. I want to be slunked over. But that spirit began to rise up, and I was trying to bring a point that is so, you know, it's easy to be swayed by that spirit, you know. Say it like this. Sometimes if we have an opinion that we can't back up with the Word of God, we're operating in a spirit of rebellion. Amen. Because, you know, it's just our opinion, you know. This is what I think, and it should be like this because I think it should be like this. Amen. And it's, you can't back it up with the Word of God. You can't do anything with it but other than say, that's the way I think it ought to be. Amen. So it's the same thing. It's like when somebody comes to try to come against that, it's like, you know, we start tensing up. Those are the things that we got to resist and recognize. Amen. Why? Because those things don't flow from the divine nature of Christ. Amen. Those things flow out of Adam, is what those things flow out. So let me read this again. We must disassociate ourselves from demonic strongholds that are resistant to authority and to change. I mean, no, change ain't fun, but change is necessary. It ain't never fun, but it's necessary if you're going to grow and mature. Y'all have heard me give the definition of death before, the medical definition of death. Is when the organisms in the body stop changing, amen, or stop growing, then you're dead. But as long as that thing is keeps on changing and developing, it's alive. You know, the doctors, when they check for somebody that's dead, they look in their eyes with a flashlight, and they shine the light in there. Why? Because our eyes respond to light. The pupils dilate or whatever, but if the pupils are fixed and there's no response to the light, dead. Amen? And when the light shines on us, y'all hear me now? When the light of God begins to try to shine on us in areas that we need to change and there's no response, dead. I mean, no, every place that the light touches is supposed to bring life. The Bible says it like this. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. Amen. And again, I believe that's a twofold word. I don't believe that's just talking about one day in the sweet by and by that we're going to be changed, you know, even though I believe we're going to be changed into a glorified body. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When the light shined on me, Sister Nancy, and the light of Christ coming alive in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I was a new man. Something happened in me. Old things passed away and all things become new. Oh, but I'm telling you, when the light came in the moment, I was changed. Why? It was like that light shining in my eye, a twinkling, you know, the twinkling of an eye. Remember that scripture? That's the same point I'm trying to bring about death. You know, they look for that twinkle in the eye to see if that person's still alive with that light. That doctor does. But there's no twinkle, guess what? There's no life. But in the moment when that eye begins to twinkle because of the light has come, I've been changed. So I got to resist and disassociate myself from those strongholds that try to come against authority in that chain. So God's calling us to expose the death that's called religion. The kingdom within is causing changes without. I like that. And it's creating within us a vision of real revolution. Amen. Hear this. I was talking to Brother Donnie Barber the other day, and I used this point right here. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom within us, causing changes without, and is creating within us a vision of real revolution. We need to preserve what is good and change what needs improvement. If what needs to be changed is beyond my ability to improve it, I will get help. And that's what I told Donnie. I said, I need your help musically. So I'm meeting with him tomorrow. We're going to sequence some stuff on the keyboard, and, you know, he's going to give me some teaching and playing drums and all that sort of thing in this keyboard because he's a whole lot better at it than I am, and I want to improve. And I can't seem to improve by myself, so you know what? I know I need improvement, so I'm going to get help. Amen? If I understand that We need to preserve what is good and change what needs improvement. And if what needs to be changed is beyond my ability to improve it, I'll get help. So those that will swarm with men understand these things. 1 Chronicles 12:32. You know, we did a series on about the man in the mirror. We talked about the sons of Issachar, and I want to read this scripture again. It says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do." We're being brought to a place where we're understanding the times to know what we ought to do. See, God's trying to bring real definition to our vision. The power for this transition can only be found in the power of the swarm. That's what I want to talk about a little bit. If the breaker's calling us to swarm with men and hum with great noise, how do we begin to swarm? That's the question. How do I begin to do this? And I said this earlier, but if we're going to swarm with men, if we're called to swarm with men, we got to learn how to swarm with each other. Relationships will be challenged if we're going to learn how to swarm with men. And I'm talking about in here. We've got to learn how to swarm with each other. Our relationships will be challenged. Shakings will occur. Amen. Every real relationship, every real true covenant relationship will be tested. How many married folks we got in here? You ever had a test in your marriage? In that covenant relationship? Amen. Why? If it's a real covenant relationship, guess what? It's going to be some testings. Some shakings will occur. That's why the Bible talks about we're working out our marriage and our relationship with one another in this church. It's like a marriage. We're working out those relationships. But how many know mature people, mature folks will work it out? Children and adolescents will pitch temper tantrums and fits and not work it out. It's true. It's true. But if we're going to be mature people, we got to learn how to work it out. Relationships will be challenged. Listen to Hebrews 12:26. It says, "Then at Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he has given a promise. Yet once more I will shake and make tremble not only the earth, but also the starry heavens." Now this expression, "yet once more," indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken. That is, of that which has been created, in order that what cannot be shaken may remain and continue. "Let us therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe. For our God is indeed a consuming fire." Let me read verse 27 again. Now this expression, "yet once more," indicates the final removal and transformation of all. I mean, oh, God's transforming us. Transformers. He's transforming us. How's he doing it? By renewing our mind. You know, however long you wouldn't serve the Lord, that's how many years you got stinking thinking in your mind. Amen. Weird ideas. We can all relate to that. I can remember growing up, some of my family and stuff telling me stuff that, you know, was Bible, was ludicrous, crazy stuff. You know, that's in the Bible. You know, and I'm a kid and I'm thinking, you know, they're the ones that's over me. They're my relatives. They're not going to lie to me. And, you know, they know and I don't. And so I grew up with some weird concepts that were not true. Amen? I had to be transformed. My mind had to be renewed. Indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken. Anything that can be shaken, guess what? God says, I'm going to shake it. And if it can be shaken loose, so be it. Oh, but anything that cannot be shaken, it's going to remain and continue. What are you saying, Pastor Barry? I'm telling you, we'll go through times of shaking. We're going to do what God's called us to do as a body, as a church. We'll go through struggles. We'll go through difficulties. We'll go through these things. It's a shaking. It will occur. Amen. But if we're going to swarm with men, we got to learn how to swarm with each other. We got to know how to deal with it. Mature with maturity. And how to relate to one another with maturity. Because that's what's going to get us over. Amen. And to what God really wants us to do. Because I believe everybody in here really wants the heart of God. They really want the mind of God for their lives, for their church, for their community. I believe that. You know. What's it take to get there? Amen. It takes some people that's going to stand up and walk in maturity. And walk in the love of God. and do what's right, even if they had to bite their tongue off or bite their lip off. Amen? We got to believe that God's really put a real mandate on our life at the church. If we don't believe that, then we won't accomplish the thing. So let me read it one more time, verse 27. This expression, yet once more, indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created, in order that what cannot be shaken may remain and continue. So let us, therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious care and godly fear and all. For our God is indeed a consuming fire. How many know the fire of God can cleanse us? Amen. The fire of God can purify us. And the fire of God can do in us what needs to be done. So the power of the swarm is this. It's knowing what and how to. And I give you this acronym last time we're together, but I want to bring it up again. The power of the swarm. This is how we're going to know how to relate to one another, swarm with one another, and swarm with those outside. The power of the swarm is knowing what and how to speak in season. How many know you got to know when to speak and when not to speak? What's that Kenny Rogers song going to my? No one to hold them, no one to fold them. You got no one to hold them, no one to fold them. Speak in season with one another. Amen. How many know just because you see something or recognize something don't necessarily mean you got to speak to it that moment? Amen. There's seasons. And then not only speaking in a season as far as time is concerned, but speaking seasoned words. Amen. Knowing how to speak seasoned words. In other words, thinking and responding instead of reacting. Seasoned words are words that you respond with. Words that are not seasoned are words that we react because, you know, they slapped me, so I slapped them back. That's a reaction. Amen. Speak in season. We got to watch and pray. We got to align for the assignment. I love that. We got to get ourselves in line for what God has assigned us to do because, see, the goal for us, church, is to finish the assignment. Amen? To do what He's called us to do, to be who He's called us to be. Align ourselves for that. Do what it takes. If I need improvement, I'll seek help. Amen? R, recognize and respond. You know, it don't take a prophet of God to see when somebody's going through something. So you want to have an eye to recognize things like that because we're supposed to be the family of God. We're supposed to be the body of Christ. You know, if my arm is bothering me, well, my other arm ain't going to say, let's cut it off. Let's get rid of it. You know, it's worthless. It's hurting. It's hindering us right now. Let's just cut it. No, all of my body is like, if you stump your toe, it's like, oh, your fingers, oh, Jesus. You start rubbing that thing, you know, and your lips is blowing. You know, your whole body is like goes to that one hurt part. Why? Because it's connected. It recognizes something's going on, and it responds to it. Oh, I love that. So we got to recognize and respond. And the M is we got to maintain momentum. You know, when we come in here on Sunday afternoons, we got to keep the momentum going. I know we just got through eating a big cheeseburger or got through eating dinner, you know, whatever. You know, it's the middle of the day. Most people get out of church. They're taking a nap at the time we're having church. You know, so we're in here having church, you know, and we're fighting the spirit of slumber. We got to maintain momentum, you know, because that's where we're at right now. We got to learn how to maintain what God is doing and keep that momentum going. It's kind of like I told you before, when you kick a ball, it'll take off, but you got to run up to it and you got to kick it, you know, slowing down, kick it, you know, you keep that momentum going. Maintain the momentum. I love that. Luke 12, 49, 51. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, we've heard these before. Yeah, I know. But I'm telling you, church, they're important things. There are things that we need to rehearse and keep in our hearts and keep in our spirits to understand because we're trying to bring identification to what we're doing. We're trying to bring definition to what God's called us to be as a church in this area. And we've got to keep those things. We can't, just like, again, the body. My arm can't go this way and this doesn't go that way and this leg goes this, you know. Why? Because I won't be a dismembered body. And I won't be able to accomplish anything. So we got to keep it together. We got to have the same vision. We got to have the same mindset and understand, you know, the same purposes that we're going for and the same goals which we're trying to reach, sticking it together. Luke 12, 49, 51, I've come to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. I've come to disrupt and confront. So this new world that's coming, Christ is already reigning from there. Those that were swarm of man understand that they are the defenders of the atmosphere. So this is the thing I want you to get. Let's let the power of the swarm begin in us. Amen? Let it begin in us. Let's begin to speak in season. Let's begin to watch and pray. Let's begin to align for the assignment. Let's begin to recognize and respond. Let's begin to maintain some momentum in what God is doing in this place and believe that God is doing. I'm telling you, I am really believing for those 12 tribal families to be in this house this year, Sister Robbie. I believe it. I feel like Ezekiel when God told him, he said, look at this valley of dry bones. Can they live? And I feel like saying like Ezekiel, you know, God. You know. He wanted to know what Ezekiel thought. And he told me, he said, prophesy. And I'm telling you, let's start prophesying to the north, the south, the east, and the west for these 12 tribal families to come into this place. What do you mean 12 tribal families? I'm talking about the ones that have the same scream as we got. Amen. They got the same war cry as we have. Amen. They got the same sound resonating in their spirits as you and I have. They have the same vision. They're womb brothers and sisters. Amen. They come out of the same womb. They're of the same tribe. Amen. They have the same heart. And they have the same compassion. They have the same momentum to maintain. Amen. Let the power of the swarm begin. Go ahead and stand.